Honest information about living a healthy lifestyle on RadioMD.com. It's time for Naturally Savvy with natural visionary Andrea Donsky and health journalist Lisa Davis.
Hi, I'm Lisa Davis. Andrea, my wonderful co-host, is off today. Today we're going to be talking with the fabulous Laura Cronin about her book, Too Sweet, The Not-So-Serious Side to Diabetes. Hi, Laura. Laura, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, great. Oh, there you are. Hello there, dear. I just want to say how much I love your book. I learned so much about type 1 diabetes, and I also think you need to call all your sorority girlfriends and say, I told you I wasn't faking. So just jump right in.
I do need tell to us do why that. I was the that. House hypochondriac.
See, that's not fair. Let's talk about that. You know, I'm really a big cheerleader for people with invisible ailments, where people just say, oh, you feel fine. There's nothing wrong. It's like, just because you can't see it doesn't mean it isn't there. So jump right in. Tell us your story.
That is absolutely true. Well, my first symptoms started when I was in college, sitting in my sorority house, where my lips and tongue and chin all went numb. And I asked my friends around me if they ever had that when they were hungry or waiting for dinner. And they all looked at me like I was a rainbow unicorn or something. And symptoms like that just continued on and on throughout my college years and the last 2 years of college. And when I graduated, I had gone for a new job, and I started my first day on the new job, and I was called by my doctor with blood test results saying that my blood sugar levels were almost 500, and he thought that I had diabetes and had to get to the hospital right away.
And what was your initial reaction?
I didn't believe it. Neither did he, actually, because I didn't have any normal symptoms of being diabetic. I wasn't peeing a lot. I wasn't super thirsty. I really didn't have any of that when I look back. So he thought it was a blood test mistake, actually, that there was some sort of lab mix-up, and that's why he wanted me to get there right away and get it checked again. And it was actually higher when I went back there, so that wasn't very good.
So once you discovered that you actually did have type 1 diabetes, what was the way that you went about learning about it, and how did you cope emotionally?
Well, the internet wasn't around back then. That kind of dates me there, but the internet wasn't around 20 years ago when I was diagnosed, so I didn't have the opportunity to research online, which is probably a good thing, because I would have sent myself into some sort of downward spiral, I think, if I did. I didn't know anybody really with diabetes, so I was all by myself, and I really got the information from my doctor, and that wasn't enough for me at all. So I'm sort of in the dark a little bit in the beginning.
Oh, sure. Well, you know, Laura, I just want to say that the book is so thorough, and I learned so much. I learned about what it's like to have the highs and the lows and how to balance, and that you've had over 172,000 injections and finger pricks. And yes, they still hurt, right? You get that question sometimes.
Yeah, I get that question all the time. Does that hurt? Well, of course it does. It's still going into my flesh. What do you think it feels like? It hurts. Yes. Yes, but 172,000 and counting, actually. It's a lot of finger pricks. I feel like a human pincushion.
Yeah, I bet. I know that must be very challenging. And you have things about that you hate about type 1 diabetes. You have things that you love. Why don't you just share some of the daily struggles and any advice to people who have loved ones with type 1 diabetes, or who are recently diagnosed, or who've had it for a while and are just struggling to keep on top of everything?
Well, the way I look at it is that insulin is a lifesaver, right? We need it to survive. But humor and a positive attitude is sometimes the best medicine. And you can sit around feeling bad for yourself, or you can use the disease to empower you in the way of, if you can handle this, you can handle anything. That's the whole concept of my book. That's my philosophy in managing diabetes. It's given me discipline, determination, perseverance, all these different things. And it's carried through to every other area of my life, including my coaching. I'm a life coach, and I coach people all over with many different types of issues and concerns and challenges that they face, but telling them that they can handle it. There is a positive side to everything, and you just have to use it to grow and to strengthen you. So that's, you know, there's a lot of negatives about diabetes. Sure. Are there tons of complications that you can get? Yes. And there's a lot of doom and gloom that's associated with it. But the human condition lends itself to a humorous filter. And if we can filter out that doom and gloom and focus on positive things, we can have a whole different outlook.
And that applies to everything across the board in life, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Living and thriving with anything is proof positive that you can accomplish anything, and then you can make it through it.
You really can. And, you know, I did laugh when I read your book, which, like you said, the humor is so important. Chapter 9, do you speak Carbonese? I love that. Talk to us about that.
Yes, it's not the language of the great country of carbon. It is counting carbs, and it is essential if you're diabetic. You need to know how to count carbs, you need to know what you're eating, and you need to know how much insulin or medication you need to take in order to cover what you're eating. That is the key to managing diabetes. In addition to testing your blood sugar, there is nothing I can stress enough that you, if you test your blood sugar enough throughout the day, you will never have too many swings. You'll never be too high, you'll never be too low, because you'll always know where you are. You'll always be managing it properly, and you'll never get yourself in a place that you're going into DKA, because you, which is you know, having too many ketones in your bloodstream. If you get into that point, you need to be in the hospital, you need to be taken care of, and people only get that way from not testing their blood sugar enough. There's really no other way that you get there.
You mentioned,
and that's where all the complications come in. What's that?
You just took the words right out of my mouth. That's what I was going to say, that I learned from your book, that the reason you're so on top of what your blood sugar is and you test so many times is because if you keep it as stable as possible, then you avoid the complications.
Oh, yeah, or severely delay them. There's no way of saying that you permanently avoid them. But, you know, an interesting fact that I've come across recently is that type 1 diabetics are actually a lot more healthier than type 2 diabetics. And the reason, and that wouldn't make sense, right? Because type 1 diabetics, some of these people have had it 50 years, 60 years, sometimes 70. I just read it online about a guy that's had it for 71 years or 72 years now. And the reason that they're healthier is because they have started this from an early age. They have the determination and the knowledge that this is the way that they have to take care of themselves. Type 2 comes in, they get it sometimes later on in life, and they are already set in their ways, and they don't feel that this is truly going to affect them. I don't think they take it as serious as people with type 1 do, to know, okay, if I don't take my insulin, I don't take care of myself, I'm not going to be here.
Yeah, and that is something that we don't want to happen. So you have to be so careful, no. And you have to monitor things and think about things. I think it's great, too. You also, in Chapter 4, Stick It To Me, you talk about different ways to measure your blood sugar. There's pumps and there's continuous glucose monitors. There's syringes and insulin vials. So it's such a great book for someone who's like, I'm totally overwhelmed. I don't know what to do. I just got diagnosed. Or that the way I'm doing it now isn't working. So, again, too sweet. It's so good. I'm so glad you wrote the book.
Thank you. And, you know, it's a very easy read for people, too. And it's something that you can read just straight through. And it's real language that you can understand. It's not this dry medical text that you're reading. And also, again, it doesn't focus on the negative stuff. I hesitate so much to write anything negative in the book, because I want it to be an uplifting experience. I want to say, hey, look, you have to live with this 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Every single day. You don't get a break from it. You don't get a holiday. You don't get a minute off. You are living with this forever. We know that. We know all the scary complications that come with it. Let's look at what living with it is really like. Let's laugh about this, because there's plenty to laugh at. Trust me. When it really comes down to it, there's a lot of things that are really funny, and you can, what I say is, like, poke fun at yourself.
Exactly. All right. Well, Laura, how do we learn more about you, your fabulous work, and your great book?
Well, my book is on Amazon and Kindle. You can get it there, Too Sweet, The Not-So-Serious Side to Diabetes. You can also visit my website, beyouonlybetter.com. You spell out all those words. So it's beyouonlybetter.com. And you can purchase the book there as well. And I am on every social media there is, and my handle is beyouonlybetter on all of them.
Well, Laura, this has been such a thrill. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having
me. It's been great. This is Naturally Savvy on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD and at Naturally Savvy. Thanks for listening, and be well.